broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, That Loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night, empowering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless to la-di-da-di and every other body. Tonight we bring you some more scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth. It is Friday, November 10th, 2023, and we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is an amazing time to be alive. We're looking on the world stage and we're seeing some things. We're going to talk about that, but nonetheless, it remains an amazing time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing, diligently contending for the faith as Holy Spirit guides our battle, knowing we are given only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness, going forward with the full armor of God, knowing the battle is won, but we must show up. Just as in the days of old, in the ancient times, we're going to talk about our patriarchs in ancient times tonight. We're going to talk about 1 Samuel 30, one family, one faith, one fold, and how David has set the standard and the precedent for how things should be handled. We'll see if they are, relevant to maybe the world stage. So Holy Spirit is continuing to move as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Change is upon us. We can feel it. We can see it. But most of all, we can feel it in the air. I almost feel like, you know, we can feel it in the air. We can feel it in the water, all of that. You know, we can feel it. Change is upon us within every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimension we cannot yet imagine. Not all who are gifted are in and of the light. We're seeing that. We're seeing some things unfold. We're going to be talking, we're going to be going full bore this next week coming up. That's what the plan is. But do need to remember that not all who are gifted are in and of the light. And I want to remind folks too, this evening, the harlots in the house and the thief is at the door, that hasn't changed. And the spiritual attacks have been, the intensity has been increasing, and a little bit of waves of intensity increasing. People have been feeling that. And continuing to fight those spiritual battles, those things in our mind, right? Then we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But change is upon us. The harlot's in the house. The thief is at the door. It's time to come away from the tents. We can't win this battle. We do not fight against flesh and blood. This is why we really do need to pay attention, especially now. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So as we go forward, remember too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you to question everything, cultivating a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. And our scripture for that is, of course, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. And I want to tell you guys, not everything, hopefully tonight we're going to tickle your ears. I got some good stuff. I just want to talk about King David. I want to talk about the work that he did to free his people, the hard work that he did, and the level of integrity that he displayed, although mistakes were made, and we know that. They were broadcast. They were made public. He made his errors in the dark, but the Father made sure that they were made public so that they couldn't haunt him later. They would err, couldn't be found out later on. And I want to tell you, there's a much bigger picture okay, that's being painted and continues to be painted even now until the return of HaMashiach, which may be sooner than we know. So research what you hear so we can own our own experience. Now are the days to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is, of course, 2 Timothy 2:15. And I'm loving that I'm back on the air with you all tonight. Network of Believers, part of a Nazarene network. Now, remember, Paul was first called the Nazarene, the Talmudim, the disciples. In Hebrew, the word is Talmudim, disciples, followers, those who imitate their masters or their rabbi. And so the Talmudim were first called Nazarene in Antioch. Now, that's according to the Complete Jewish Bible and the translation that they use. What we are familiar with is that they were called Christians, that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, and that's not actually the original word. The word is Nazarene, those who watch for the return, those who stand and watch for danger, those who watch over the word. Revelations 14:12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So there you have that. Tonight's topic, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So tonight's topic is one family, one faith, and one fold. And that's not original. That's kind of we've heard that before. But we're going to talk about that and talk about what that looks like and the far-reaching effects of it, because, you know, one of the mainstay teachings here on this program, here on Scriptures and Scuttlebutts with Holistic Truth, is the one-stick prophecy of Ezekiel and knowing that God is going to keep his word and make both Judah and Ephraim, which is the house of Joseph in the hand of Ephraim, going to make them one stick. We're going to bring everybody back together. We're going to be one family, one faith, and one fold. Some of us call each other Christians. That's kind of the Northern Kingdom thing. We need to know who we are. Let me get a drink. Some nice, fresh, overly warm, nearly hot, not too hot to drink coffee, but it is a very good cup of coffee. But now, before we get into the scriptures, before we get into tonight's topic of 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30, and that has to do with King David and a battle and what was won and what he did with it, I do want to talk about, you know, some of the things that are going on the world stage. We know that there's a war over in the Middle East. We know that Hamas has been terrorizing Israel for a very long time. We know that the Israelis are beside themselves in desperation. And we also know that the inhabitants of the Gaza Strip, those that are called Palestine, that they are beside themselves in angst too, because Hamas is virtually holding both of them hostage. They have no good, even for those in Palestine, even those on the Gaza Strip. So the ones who are being, who are finding liberty, are not just those, you know, in Israel and are pushing forward to push Hamas out, but they're also doing a huge favor to those who live in Palestine on the Gaza Strip, in that strip of land that everybody's arguing about. Or are they? So it seems as though we'll see a resolution soon. I did see flash on the screen, kind of staying away from most of it, praying about it. But I did see that it seems as though Benjamin Netanyahu is going to allow for 4-hour ceasefires. I'm not sure what that's for. We'll have to leave that up to God and pray about it. I'm hoping that it's not going to give Hamas any ground to come back and to gain, because, you know, do we not want to see an end to this years, decades-long battle that's been going on? And we know that it's been longer than that in the area, but I'm talking about this particular scuttlebutt thing that this little terrorist group, Hamas, and then, of course, all their little brothers and sisters of Hezbollah and all that stuff. So complete embarrassment to the good-willed people of the Middle East, or those who act like idiots and terrorists and give them all a bad name, not unlike those who say they are Jews and are not and give our sister Judah a bad name. Just thought I'd say, just want to remind folks, Revelation 2:9, it says, I know thy works, and tribulation. This is to the churches and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And again, in Revelation 3:9, behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So these are the things I want us to remember, is that there have been down through time, all the way since this was written in Revelation, it had to have been in the first century, had to have been before 70 AD, it had to have been written before the destruction of the temple, or the destruction of the temple would have been said, talked about in this scripture, or is it? So we do need to remember that through John, Jesus told us through John that Jesus told John that God told him, that the Father told him, that these are the things. So we need to be aware that there are those who say they are Jews and are not, and we know who they are. So not all of them are living in Israel. Some of them are wearing each other's clothes. We've got to be very mindful of that and pray for our sister Judah and pray for those living in the Gaza Strip and pray for those living in Israel and pray for everybody who is at risk so that the dying can stop, which to me, real important to think about. Now, we're going to get to a first Samuel 30, but before we do, well, no, we can get to that. We'll do the Old Testament first, and we'll get to the next scripture next. I think we'll do it that way, because we're going to be filling up with Romans 11 coming in on the other side. So let me go ahead and put that down also, so the folks coming in can understand what it is that we've got going on here, and do it that way. So let me get both of the scriptures listed on the page. Sorry to take up airtime to do that, but you know, it's something. It's fun. We'll do it that way. So those are the two scriptures that involve 1 Samuel 30 and then Romans 11 for those who want to get their scriptures ready to follow along. So we're going to be talking about the one-stick prophecy. We're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to be talking about how David does it. And we're going to be talking about the very fact, reminding my listeners that God said Judah rules. That's what God said. God said Judah will rule. And that's the tribe, someone out of that tribe. That's who rules. That's what God said. So for those who have the, you know, little hinkles in their heart against our sister Judah, we need to check ourselves, because you will wreck yourself by deceiving yourself into believing that God does not hold Israel dear to his heart, or if you think for one minute that God will not keep his promise to Judah and to David and to Abraham and all of the lineage, all of the patriarchal lineage that's been promised. And we've got the scepter will return to Judah. The scepter's rulership, one faith, one family, one fold, we're going to need to try to understand what it is the scriptures are saying. We're going to go ahead and paint the picture according to the scriptures as we get further along. So research what you hear so you can own your own experience. Now, we know everything's getting blowy up in the Middle East. We also see over in New York and all these other places, we've got protests going on where they're trying to stir up our hatred and stir up our angst and ruin our Veterans Day weekend. Let me clear my throat. Disrespectful to our ally, Israel, and totally disrespectful for the solemnity of this holiday as we honor the veterans, those who have served. Not all came back in one piece, and this is, tomorrow is the day that we honor that. And they've chosen to make a ruckus and make headlines other than the solemnity of the holiday. That's just selfishness and self-centeredness. That's wickedness. It really is, to try to take the stage away from those who are in mourning or in remembrance or in honor and all of that. So these are immature little brats that have been organized together, BLM, hired to do all these protests once again under another banner. Let me get a drink. And here we are, forced to share the headlines with idiots, acting like idiots, and threatening our friends, our sister, and our ally. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And we're sitting here waiting for the return of HaMashiach Nagid, right? That's what we're doing. That's the point of truth from which there's no compromise. It's, you know, I just in case there is any question for my profession of faith. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a message of truth so powerful, revealing a mystery so magnificent. And who can withstand it? Upon hearing it, folks will either fight and flee, or they will listen and become converted. It is a privilege to walk this road. Thank you for being a part of it this evening. Let's go ahead and turn in our scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, let me preface this narratively, we could just play that word all day, of what's going on up until now. Now, they were off taking care of chasing Saul and doing this. This is David, King David. He's already been anointed as David, but there's a little bit of ruckus going on because Saul doesn't want to give up the crown. And so he's after David. He's been chasing David for some time now, David who is king. And he's had 100 men. It was 600. 600 men go run with him, or even more sometimes. And they were off doing what they needed to do with that. And it came to pass in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." So while they were gone doing all these other things, on the third day, the Amalekites came and attacked their city in the south, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until there were no more power to weep. Can you imagine coming home and your city is sacked and everything that you love, everyone that you love is carried off, your women and your children? And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. And these two, he came, you know, he has these wives, some honorable mention. I want to teach about that at some point. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, you got to think about this. They just came from a great big battle. He just talked them into going over and taking care of Saul and doing this, that, and the other thing. When they got back, everything was gone, and they were mad. They were furious. They had to, you know, they wanted to throw the rocks at something. And we get that way. We want to throw the rocks at the devil, do we not? So the David was greatly distressed, and the people spake stoning him, so he was freaking out because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Whoa, my goodness. Let's stop right there at verse 6. So they've been spending years, very long time, probably a couple of years now, trying to either evade Saul or fight off the Philistines or doing this, that, and the other thing. And these men had stuck with them. 600 men stuck hard with him through all of this. And when they got back, everything was lost. Everything was gone. The belongings were burnt. Everything was taken and carried away. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in Yahweh, his Elohim. And David said to Abiathar in verse 7, the priest, who is Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, this is what David said to Abiathar, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now understand that this ephod was, you know, he placed on his head. This was a diviner. He needed to find out from God, and he needed to find out right now what it is he needed to do, because he needed to tell his men something. They were ready to stone him. They were grieved. they were having a fit because they cut back and it just wasn't the way they expected it. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, verse 8, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Okay, so now we got some hope, right? Now we've got some hope stirring up. So David went. What did David do? Did he argue with God? Did he try to sell him? Nope. So David went. He asked of God. God said he's going to get it all. So David went. Should I do this, God? God said yes. So David went. That says a lot of David. He and the 600 men that were with him. And they came to the brook Beshur, where those that were left behind stayed. Now, there were about 200 men that couldn't go any further. And they stayed by the brook, right? So, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Beshur. They were just, they'd been at it. You know, and everybody has their own strength, and they weren't going to go home. They weren't going to, but they couldn't go. They were going to go get their families. They couldn't go another step. So David said, you stay here. You stay with the stuff, babysit the stuff, right? Rear support, so to speak. And then they found an Egyptian in the field, and when they went forward, 400 of them carried on, and they found an Egyptian in the field, this is in verse 11, and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him some fig cakes and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. I mean, this guy had been just as starved as the ones that were stayed at the brook. So they went ahead to revive him because they needed to find out some information. And he says, so they gave him all that, and we did, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. Oh, my. And my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. He made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag to the fire. So he's sitting here in this one verse 14. He's saying, well, we did this and we did that and we did this and this is all we did and we burned Ziklag with fire. Well, my goodness, here we got it. We got a whole report of what went on. And so David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God. This is the guy. They just told him everything he needed to know. Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. So he says, yeah, I'll do that, because just don't kill me. Don't let them kill me. Don't let there be no killing, and I'll show you where these guys are. And so let me go ahead and clear my throat. And so after all of that, when they had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad on all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. Right? Eating and drinking and dancing. Because they had just taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. So they were partying in the camp. They were pretty much partying hardy where they were, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all. What happened next? And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered it all. And David took all the flocks and the herds. Can you imagine this? He's got all of this. He got everything back. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave, and all of those of the other cattle, and he said, this is David's spoil. Right, so he says, okay, this right here, this part right here, this mine, this is David's. This is my part. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those cattle, and then he said that. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had also made to abide at the brook of Beshur. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then, now we got another little revelation that needs to happen here in the middle of the camp. And because there's a whole 600 people went there, and when they come back, now we got these 200 and these 400, and now we're going to have a little bit of revealing of some hearts going on here. So 1 Samuel 30:22, it says, "Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial," which means the men of destruction, right? Men who they were destroyers. The Belial is a slang term for men of destruction. "So then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his child, that they may lead them away and depart." Got a little case of the all about us, didn't he? Didn't them? There's some wicked men in the camp. They were all about them. They forgot what they were doing and why they were doing it. Were they not doing it to save their women and children? And the fact that they were spoiled just got to be extras? That's just whipping cream, cherry on top. But the goal was to rescue the wife and children, wives and children. "Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord," oh, my goodness, here he goes. "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff." I like that little part. "That tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." They're going to have the same cut, right? They shall part alike. They're going to get the same amount as you. And it was so, in verse 25, 1 Samuel 30, verse 25, "And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in Ramoth, and to them which were in Jeter, and to them which were in Orier, and to them which were in," I love this part, "and to them which were in Siphmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoth, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jemuelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Chorashan, and to them which were in Atak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. So what he did is he beat back everybody that helped him get to the point that he and his men found themselves in the rescuing and the liberty bringing to the children of Israel, even to Judah, even to all of the other outskirts. Now you may ask, why did David do that? Well, he qualified it himself by saying, shall we not share with everybody that present which God gave us and rescued it out of the hands of our enemies? Brought us this present that God gave us from the hand of our enemies. Shouldn't everybody get some? That's basically what David said. That's what David said. And all of this, now why would he do that? Well, what would happen if it was just those 600 that made out like fat rats? What would everybody else think? That they were in it for themselves? Why did they go rescue all the men, women, and all the women and children and all that stuff? Was it not for the one nation, one faith, one family? Was that not it? One faith, one family, one fold? I think that's what David was trying to show us. And if any part of the area had been lacking, there'd be jealousy. Well, let's take care of that, not just for that, but because they had worked so hard and done such a good job of taking care of him and his men as he was traveling around. Now, not everybody did, and stories are written about that. So David didn't keep it just for himself. He said, oh, this is mine because, you know, I'm king, I'm David, and this is mine. And I led you guys and all of that. And everything else you guys divide up equally. And we're going to send some here. We're going to send some there. We're going to send some here. And I guess I could say whether they liked it or not. David showed his men and he showed the nation of Israel, actually the kingdom of Judah, the right way to do that. And the northern kingdom, because he was bringing them together even during this time. And in the next chapter, the battle goes against Saul, and Saul dies. So David ensured the cohesiveness of one family, one faith, one fold, by ensuring the sharing of the wealth, of the bounty that was delivered to him out of the hands of their enemies. What else was he going to do? I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. We're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break tonight. I hope you find, right here in the middle, hope you're finding value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. We're going to go ahead and take a little break and talk and listen to Reba McEntire. Give us the answer of what it is we need to do. It's hell out there right now. It's chaos on every corner, seemingly, if we listen to the news and believe everything about it. But there's chaos out there, and I'm expecting there might be a little bit more chaos to come. But I also know that we will be giving this world, we need to give this world back to God. And when we do that, the wonderful things that come about are not unlike those times of David when he was able to liberate all of the spoils and the children and the stolen wives from his kingdom and return them to where they belong. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back. Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no, being silent is not always the best thing. That's why we're going to talk about tonight's scriptures. And we're going to talk about them loud. I am your host, Leander Grace. Welcome back here to Scriptures and Scuttlebutts on Holistic Truth Channel, broadcasting live from Blog Talk Radio, part of a Nazarene network, bringing this all together. Hopefully this evening, the Father will continue to be with me. So let's go ahead, if you care to. We're going to go ahead and flip in a little bit of an Ezekiel here. Why not? It's a good place. It's a good time. It's on topic. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to go ahead and begin. We're going to begin with verse 21. Now, there's a whole bunch more, but for the sake of time, I want to go ahead and bring this together. Well, no, you know, there's no way to abbreviate this. We're going to go ahead and start with verse 16, or 15, rather. It says, Ezekiel 37:15, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them together, join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. So he wants them to do this, and he wants to take them out, and when he's to show them what this looks like. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. Oh, that's where they went, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Is that not what Paul was trying to do as well? And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Now remember, this is after King David. This is after the death and all this stuff, the captivity. Yo, he's saying this is going to happen. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned. And I will cleanse them so that they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. And it goes on to the covenant. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. And I say, amen. This is the scripture. This is right out of the scripture what God's going to do. That's what's going to happen. Now, how did Paul tell us as the northern kingdomers? Because when we went to Rome, he went to Rome to speak to the heathen, the witch heathen, the ones that God was talking about right here in Ezekiel 37. Right? The heathens are all the children of Israel, the northern kingdom. We'll cast them out, all the heathen. He says, well, you know, I'm going to send Paul there to say, well, now he went and sent Paul. What did Paul say when he went to the northern kingdom? What was Paul's biggest message to him when he started talking to the northern, especially when he went to the Romans? Because a lot of the northern kingdom, a lot of the children of Israel were in Italy and ended up in that area, in the Roman province, and they had become citizens of Rome and all of these things. So there was a warning that Paul was sure to give, or the author of Romans was sure to give, and that is against the evangelical boast against the root. Now, we know David is root. We know Judah. We know that. Do we not know that already? Bringing these things to the memory, to the forefront for all of my Christian brothers and sisters, even though Catholic brothers and sisters understand that any accusation that there was, it is against the papacy structure and not against the people themselves. And people are asking, why are folks coming up against Catholics? Why are Catholics getting hammered so much? Well, they're the biggest, staunchest protectors of human life and the largest anti-abortion group of folks that there are. So I think that's why the deep state would go after Catholics, because they protect the unborn. Just as a matter of course, that's just part of it. Whereas some of the others in the northern kingdom of the Protestant Reformation, we think that we're very much all that, but we're letting them kill babies here in this land. We haven't stopped yet. We've almost stopped it, and then in Ohio they reenacted something else. I just thought I'd give that sidebar so that we can actually measure our values against what we say they are and what they actually are, and then maybe we can make that adjustment. Let's go ahead and back to topic. So in Romans chapter, Romans chapter 11, for those who want to follow with me. And I have to change my scripture as well. And we're going to start in Romans 11, about verse 19-ish. And what's going on is he's explaining that those who are of the northern kingdom, those who have gone afar off, they can be grafted in. That the miracle of the cross, the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus on the third day according to the scriptures, just exactly as the scripture says, then because of that, the marriage vow was broken, the marriage covenant was broken for the northern kingdom, and they could come back and be grafted in because the marriage law said they could. And he was explaining this. You know, he's explaining it to him. He says, so, and let's go ahead and start in verse 13. He says, for I speak to you Gentiles, I'm just saying to you, the nations, those who are not of Judah, those who are not of Judah. This is who he's talking to. One faith, one family, one fold, but those who are not of Judah. Still one family, not of Judah. So, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that shall the receiving of them be but life from dead. And then he goes on, we're going to talk about the first fruits. For the if the first fruit be holy, the lump also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now he's giving us a picture. The first fruit is holy. We know Jesus is the first fruit, right? And then we got if the root, we got the root of David is holy, so are the branches. So we have root, branch, we have the picture here of the family branch, the one stick. Do you understand how this is coming together and reflecting also of Ezekiel? I'm glad there's not a camera because you'll see me put my hands together. It's so funny to watch me. I'm glad there's not one watching. And if someone of the branches be broken off, right? Some of them broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So he's saying, okay, so now look, what went on the cross, everything was made holy, and it can all come together. And some of the branches were taken off so that you can be grafted back in. And if some of the branches, this is back in 17, and if some of the branches will be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, because those who of the Northern Kingdom Christians are a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the whole tree. But the root thee, pardon me, but and then there's a part about the whole tree, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee, taking care of you. You're not taking care of the root. The root is root of David. You're not taking care of the root. The root is taking care of you. So why are you boasting yourselves, Northern Kingdom Christians, against the root? That will then say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Oh, both of it, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. And if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature, our nature's changed into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Oh, I'm thinking people are saying, don't hold Judah back. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, this phrase right here, I want to magnify. Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. This is not talking about Judah until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So the totality of Israel, all of the tribes, Judah inclusive, one stick, there's been a partial blindness until all of the nations have been exposed and brought in to where they come in, and everybody that's going to be delivered is in a position for deliverance. And so also in verse 26, Israel shall be saved. Oh, what? And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, what does this mean? It means because it's taken them so long, you've got to have a little bit of mercy. It's actually what it is. So, and then he's going to go on and say, let's not scoff with each other. The whole basis is we're going to put the ones that God says, I'm going to put all sticks together. Stop fighting. I made you together to get along. You guys are one family, one faith, and one fold. And so as we go into this Veterans Day weekend, remember those before us who have served. Also, let's remember those apostles who have served. Let's remember those warriors that served even in ancient times to do the right thing so that we could continue in this story, continue in this battle of good versus evil to get to this point today where we know our deliverer is near. We know Jesus is coming soon, like soon, and we need to be ready. What's it going to look like? Well, scriptures tell us exactly what it's going to look like. I'm going to leave that for another evening. If good Lord willing and the Lord don't come, we'll be back on Friday to continue on with these scriptures and scuttlebutts and tell the ins of the outs of some of the things. But remember, God started from, he has this planned out from the beginning. He told us the end from the beginning, Bereshit. He told us how it was going to end. And as we understand that from the very beginning, the words tell us that the son of the first fruits of the dead will shake the dome. That is a translation of that verse when we take a look at the coding. So we know that that will occur. We know that Jesus is coming again. We know that that all of the kingdoms will be grafted in. We know that Jesus is coming for his bride in all tribes. Every tribe across the face of the earth. There isn't one area where God's people are not. There is not one denomination where God's people are not therein. There is not one single race, creed, color, size, shape, form, belief, where God is not. God's people are everywhere, and he has positioned every one of us very strategically across the face of the earth. And we move in concert, do we not? It is an amazing time to be alive. It is difficult to see those things being carried out on the world stage that must come to pass. But woe to those who bring them about. Woe to the Assyrian. The time for those who serve the Assyrian is short, and they know it. And the time for us to be sitting on our laurels has come to an end. We must now press forward as if every day is the last day we'll have to fight and bring people to the Lord, because it might be. And also we must, you know, on this time of excitedness, you might find it a very good idea. What is the proper phrasing? I highly suggest that we stay in prayer much more than we're used to. There's going to be some challenges coming up on the world stage. There's going to be some challenges coming to us very quickly, very close, very soon. You know, we're all feeling it. We're feeling the tension. We're feeling the global expectation that something soon will be happening next. We also know that our faith is not in mankind. Our faith is not in that, but our faith is in the Creator. Our faith is in the Father through Christ.
And we can have faith in one another in that we know each other is in Christ. And that is how, as the body of Christ, we move together. Each of us in our personal faith and in our collective faith to do those things that God has called us to do, bring about his will at a time such as this. We see so much highlighted that is negative, so much brutality that is out there. But I want to remind folks that it is Veterans Day weekend. It is a time to honor those who gave everything. Some of those who were able to come back, those who served. It's a time to honor them because it's because of them that we're able to move forward. And if we forget those who've gone before and we take for granted the very sizable footsteps and footprints that they have left it in history's time, we'll be doing them a disservice and we will become ignorant and complacent, and we could lose this fight. God is fighting this battle for us. The armies of God and the armies of mankind have joined together and they're getting jobs, plural, done. We do need to show up. We do need to pray without ceasing. We do need to continue to give one another over to prayer, hold each other up in prayer, and take those lessons that David brought to us all the way through the sands of time that are affirmed by those words in Romans 11. We've got this. One faith, one family, and one fold. I am your host, Leanda Grace. It's been my honor and pleasure to bring you the broadcast, the podcast this evening. Pod people, we love you too. For those listening remotely, don't know who you are, but I know that you are. And for your attendance here at Scriptures and Scuttlebutts, I thank you so very, very much. We will be back on the air Monday with Empathic Channel. We might just do a complete week of broadcasting. Depends on how the Father moves me. I say that sometimes, and then the Father says, no, 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 no. But thank you for your excitement. So we'll see how it goes. We could do a week long, maybe not, but we'll definitely be back on Monday with Empathic Channel, and the phone lines will be wide open to talk about all those things that you need to be bringing to talk about, that we all get to learn from together. Until next time, I am your host, Leanda Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good, because we will be learning to forgive. Until next time, good night.